Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's bring in James Rapine, who's fresh off his big week at the All-Star Game. Did you catch up and get any sleep for yourself there, Mr. Rapine?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm energized. I'm ready to go. It feels like I just came off the All-Star break.
Good. You got your 4 days off, and of course, you're on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I don't want to get into how important it is. Like, I listened to you this morning on the morning show talking about how important it is. But what's the feeling going into this for this team? And, you know, if you go back to it, and I kind of look for key moments in the season, I think when Carrasco kind of told the team he was going to be out, it kind of sparked this team in some way, shape, or form. And if you go back to that moment, you can see we're winning series, right? We're tying series. They're doing what they need to do to creep back in this. Is that one of the biggest points of the season so far? Is Cookie Carrasco telling these folks, hey, man, I've got leukemia?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I think something like that puts baseball in perspective, puts, you know, Jason Kipnis, for example, hitting 215 or whatever he was hitting when that news was coming out. It puts everything in perspective. And I think that it helped them, whether it was refocus or just kind of take a step back and not put so much pressure on themselves playing a game, whatever it was, they did turn a page. Obviously, you can look at the schedule and blame it on that some, but they beat the Yankees in a series. They beat the Twins in a series. So it's not like they were playing just bad teams the whole time. And so, yeah, that was certainly a turning point. As for this weekend, I think they're pretty focused on just continuing what they've done over the past month and change, which is play solid baseball, not make any crazy mistakes, and see where things land. So, yeah, the Indians, as a group yesterday, and I kind of went around the clubhouse just talking to each guy off the record individually, they seem rested and ready to go, which I think is important here for this stretch run, because the next couple of months should be pretty tight here in the Central.
When we talked to the Indians All-Star participants, James, during the festivities here in Cleveland, you know, I asked them about this turnaround that they have, you know, 24-12 since the end of May. They've gotten themselves back in the race, and what the difference has been. And, you know, to Andy's point about Carlos Carrasco and that news potentially being a pivotal point, but the sense that I got is that they just seem to accept the hand that they've been dealt between the injuries and everything else that's gone on with this team in the first half of the season. And the theme that came from the players is, you know, we're not focusing on what's gone wrong or feeling sorry for ourselves. We're just focused on doing what it takes to win that game that night. And when I say that to you, translate that for fans, because it comes off as a cliche. You know, we're just doing what it takes to win games. But, you know, you cover the team. You're in that clubhouse every day. What does that mean to you when guys say to you, well, we're doing what it takes to win games? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think that comes from two people. The first one is Terry Francona. He's not worried about tomorrow. He's not worried about Sunday. He's worried about today. And he is very dialed in. And if you ask him about this stretch of wins or if it's a stretch of losses, he says the same thing. Look, yeah, I would love to win 10 straight, but we can't worry about that. We have to worry about one game. And then right after the game, he's like, well, I'm already thinking about tomorrow. And the other person that I think that mindset comes from is Francisco Lindor. I talked to him one-on-one during the stretch when they were playing bad in May. And the bats were struggling, and Carlos Gonzalez was still here, and Jose Ramirez obviously had his struggles, and things were just looking really bad. And I'm like, okay, let's talk to Frankie. Let's see if he's where he's at. And he's like, no, I'm not worried. We're going to figure it out. We believe in each other. We're going to stick together. in that leadership from your best player combined with Francona, the manager, I think that really sets the tone in the locker room. It makes sure, it almost puts the young guys at ease and the veterans that are playing for a job or clinging to a job, it helps them as well. So I think that those two guys kind of help set the standard and embrace the leadership role. Obviously, if you're a manager in Terry Francona, you have to. Francisco Lindor doesn't, but I think he does, and he leads by example, and he doesn't get it too high or too low, and he's not going to freak out and lose his mind. And the one time he did was on Leonis Martin, and I think that the team really looked at that and said, all right, you know, no one really got in the middle of them. So I think Lindor, he knows when to speak up. Otherwise, he leads from example, and I think that's where that tone that you're talking about, where they're just going to win each game and take it day by day, and that's how they've gone on this streak. I mean, they have the best winning percentage in the American League since June 4th at 21-8. So I think they've played well, and I think Lindor and Francona deserve a lot of credit for the attitude the team has taken on.
James, you think Danny Salazar is coming back? And when you look at the numbers of him on the rehab assignment with Akron, he pitched 2 2/3, allowed one run. But I look at the numbers of 46 pitches and 27 strikes. That, to me, is encouraging. I wonder if Danny comes back, where is he going to? And you got to feel like it's the bullpen.
Yeah, I would say that it would almost have to be the bullpen, assuming that the rotation, because he's still a ways away from being in the big leagues, because, he hasn't pitched in a game since 2017 in the playoffs.
Almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in October. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild to think about. So I don't think the Indians are banking on him, but if he can get back and potentially contribute to the bullpen, I think the Indians will love that. You know, I mean, at some point, as great as this bullpen has been, it's kind of Brad Hand and a bunch of pieces thrown together that Terry Francona's made work, and to their credit, they filled their roles nicely and have settled in nicely. But if they could get another arm in there, that would be great. I don't really see a spot for him in the rotation, but if he could just show that he can pitch and still has something left to offer, it would certainly give the Indians a boost. I don't think they're relying on that or banking on that, but I certainly think it's something in their back pocket that if it happens, it could be a bonus and give them a nice boost down the stretch here if they need him in August or September.
I'm going to give you the quote on August 1st that they think Salazar is coming back. They're going to be like, you know, we didn't make any deals, but we feel like getting Danny Salazar back was just like making a trade.
No, I think they're going to make a deal. I do.
Okay,
I
mean, what are they going to do?
And that's the interesting thing. Is it going to be Bauer? Is it going to be? And I think there's a lot that plays into whether or not they deal Bauer. Obviously, it's the offers that come in. That's first and foremost. But where's Corey Kluber? He got reevaluated yesterday. If he's in a good spot on July 30th, and you get a great offer for Corey Kluber, for Trevor Bauer, then you're probably feeling good, right? Because you have a two-time Cy Young Award winner coming back. You think
yep.
He's going to be able to contribute down the stretch, and then you can get value for Bauer. So I think all that goes hand in hand. But even if that doesn't happen, speaking of hand, I think they keep him. But I think that they'll go after a bat. I think there's going to be some kind of bat that comes available that's probably a free agent to be at the end of the season. And they say, you know what, we've been aggressive the past couple of years. We're right in it. I expect them to be in it throughout the month of July and for the rest of the year. Why not give up, insert whatever prospect that the other team wants for him? So I think they'll do something. That doesn't mean they're going to trade for a superstar. But I think they'll make a move or two here before the deadline.
I'm convinced, James, that they're going, to your point, that they will do something, that they're not just going to sit on their hands at the trade deadline. My question is, though, is this balancing act that Chernoff and the front office are trying to pull off. They're trying to remain competitive this year, but also at the same time, they're trying to retool so that they're positioned for 2020, 21, and 22. Just touch on, if you could, the delicate balance that the organization and the spot that they find themselves in, trying to maintain competitive, while also at the same time, they're trying to set themselves up so not only are they competing this year for the postseason, but they're competing for the years to come for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. I think it might be the hardest thing to try to pull off front office-wise in sports, because it's not like you're using all of your assets for one goal or the other. You're trying to split between two objectives. In doing that, it makes moving Bauer, moving Hand, so much harder. You know, it's one thing if it's full-blown rebuild because you just take the best prospects you can, and that's it, and you build for the future. And it's another if you're loading up and you don't care that Bauer is going to be a free agent in a year, in a couple of months, and that's it. You just go for it. So to me, they're walking a tightrope, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. And to their credit, as weird and awkward as it looked at the beginning of the year with some of the young guys and things like that, it's come together, right? It seems like so far they've been able to pull it off. But I think during this run over the past 4 years, this is going to be the most difficult and challenging trade deadline for Anthonetti and Chernoff, because they're going to have to maybe pull off a three-team trade where they don't necessarily get a bunch of prospects back, but they get proven players who are under control for a couple of years. Like, that's what I would look for if I'm dealing Bauer. I would look for a three-teamer where you can get prospects back and flip those prospects for a proven outfielder, a proven infielder, a proven bat that you can get and really insert into this lineup, not just for this year, for the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to be much, much easier said than done. So, yeah, they're walking a tightrope. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. So far, it's worked relatively well. Some of the off-season moves certainly look good, but we'll see what they do at the trade deadline. It's certainly a tough spot if you're Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff.
James, I got about a minute here, maybe two. But my question for you, two for you, because it's you. But I started thinking about it, and, you know, I'm like, I'm excited, I think, as a fan to have the unified trade deadline on the 31st. But the Indians have had such success on that waiver deal trade deadline that it almost, to me, it feels like it kind of hurts our organization to only have the one date, because they've done such a good job in the past on bringing in guys that can get through waivers. What are your thoughts? Does this hurt the Indians a little bit?
I don't know if it hurts them, but I'm with you, right? I mean, you're talking about Jay Bruce, Josh Donaldson. You know, they've had success.
Coco Crisp, all those guys, yeah.
Exactly. They brought in bats and position players, which is what they need, right, this year. And they've done that after the trade deadline. So I get it. I do. And that's just another wrinkle now. This is the first time where they're not going to be able to do anything in August. And so that just adds another wrinkle. It makes it even more difficult and challenging to navigate. I will say it does apply a little more pressure. Now, when the deadline's approaching, that's the deadline. So a team that's going to go for Trevor Bauer and try to give up as much as they can to get him, they're going to have to give a ton, right? And the Indians, they'll take that offer or not. And when I'm talking about like a three-team deal, it's not like they can say, oh, well, we can find a bat in August, right? So it applies pressure on them as well to get a deal done or go make something happen now, because they don't have the fallback option of waiting in August and trying to do it and get a deal done then. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll make for an exciting deadline. There'll be plenty of rumors, Indians-wise and across baseball. Does that mean more deals get done? I'm not sure, but I hope so, because the way the NBA offseason's been, I think we all agree we like deals. So I hope there's a ton of deals on July 31st.
All right, last question for you. Do you think, based on the All-Star game, that a lot of Indians fans came out of the woodwork over the last 5 or 6 days, that baseball has a really good chance to be almost resurgent here in the second half of the season, thanks to the kickstart with the All-Star game? Because, you know, Daryl and I were talking about this before, that, you know, there was a good baseball feeling in this town over the last week. And maybe it was because all the hardcore baseball fans came out. But is there a chance that some of these guys, some of the Indians fans who were in there, kind of saying, you know what, I don't care. I want to be a part of this. I'm in, especially if they keep winning.
Absolutely. I think that you combine that with what the Indians have done in June and the early part of July. They've obviously won 6 straight going into the break. And fans, all of a sudden, they were looking and paying attention to the Indians a bit more. Now you have the All-Star game, which was extremely entertaining, full of great moments. And obviously, Bieber winning MVP, the Home Run Derby might have been the most entertaining of all time. You mix all that together, and now we're looking at what could potentially be a great race for the American League Central. And there's a lot of intrigue, right? I mean, there's reason to pay attention now down the stretch, because we don't know if the Indians are going to get in the playoffs. They look like they're putting themselves in a position to, but they have to earn that. And I think that's something that's going to catch the fans' attention, and they're going to have to pay attention more than past years, especially last year when the Indians pretty much had things wrapped up. So, yeah, I absolutely think that the drama, the intrigue surrounding the deadline, and then the Indians, whether or not they can make the playoffs or win the division, certainly going to catch fans' attention. And the All-Star game certainly had a big boost to awaken the baseball fans here in Cleveland.
James, as always, awesome stuff. We'll look forward to listening to you on the podcast with Daryl Ann at 92.3thefan.com. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, guys. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.